Thank you all for coming this afternoon. A special thanks to our hosts for having us all assemble at this Sangha, Vaishnav Sangha. Looks like we have the Sangam of the Jamuna, the Ganges, and Saraswati at Allahabad. And then we have the Kumbh Mela. Every several years is Kumbh Mela, is the Maha Kumbh Mela. And the Sangam is considered the most auspicious place to take the snan, to take the bath during the Kumbh Mela festival. The mercy is flowing down from the heavens. So if you take bath in the Sangam, astrologically at the right moment, then you get mukti, you get liberation. And for Vaishnavas, that means punarjanma navidyate, it means going back home, back to Godhead, never coming back again to this material world. But of course, that's not so practical for those of us who live in Western countries, because to travel to the Sangam, India, Kumbh Mela, it's a long way and little expensive these days. The price of fuel is rising very quickly, and little cold, the month of Magh, December, January. So I don't know if you've ever been to Kumbh Mela. Maybe some of the older members have been to Kumbh Mela, but it's very austere. I've been several times. I caught cold there, almost pneumonia. But still, it's worth it. But nevertheless, still, we can get same benefit by this Sangam, by coming together here in East London. What is auspicious about East London? Well, nothing. But the fact that we have a house of devotees here who are practicing Krishna consciousness and who invite us for this association where we are doing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Shmaranam. We're hearing and chanting about the glories of Bhagavan, of Krishna. And this makes everything very auspicious. Where the Lord is present, then all inauspiciousness goes away to a distant place. So this is also Sangha, or Sangha. We say Vaishnav Sangha, where we come together and we associate through Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Vishnu Shmaranam. So we'll be speaking this evening from the Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam. Raj, of course, means king, and Granth means Shastra. So this is Grantharaj. It's the king of all the scriptures. As you know, the Vedas are a very vast compilation of many different books, but Siddhanta is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai pumsham padad dharmo yato bhaktir doksaje ahaitukiya patiyata yayat mahashupashidati. That the supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which they can attain to love of God. And what's more, that love of God must be very, very pure in its nature. It must be ahaitukiya patiyata. It must be unmotivated, uninterrupted. And if one practices religion like that, without any selfish interest, yayatma shupashidati, one becomes completely happy. So this is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore Prabhupada chose this book to speak from every morning. It's our Gaudiya tradition. In evening time, sometimes Gita, but this book is really favorite of the Vaishnavas, Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So because Lord's Appearance Day is coming up very soon, we're going to be celebrating Nrisimha Chaturdashi. We're going to be celebrating the appearance of Lord Narasimhadev, a half-man, half-lion incarnation of Krishna. It's a very important day in the calendar of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because Narasimhadev is a very important expansion of Vishnu or Krishna, because he removes the obstacles in the path of pure devotion from within the heart. He tears out the material desires from our heart, our selfish desires, which impede our pure love for God. We can't do it alone. They're too powerful. No one individual can uproot material attachment from the heart alone. We need the mercy of God. And this incarnation in particular, Narasimhadev, half man, half lion, he's very expert at going this quadruple bypass heart surgery. He did the original. There's a doctor in South Africa who's credited with the first heart transplant. I think his name was Dr. Barnard. He was actually from Johannesburg. He's credited with this first time taking the heart from a dead man, though still beating, and giving that heart to a man who had diseased heart. He took the old heart out and put the new heart in. So this was now it's common practice. Anyone and everyone is having quadruple bypass surgery after 60. But no, we have to give credit. The first person who did this heart surgery was Lord himself. He's Adi Guru. He's also Adi Doctor. Adi is the original doctor, giving us the medicine for curing the disease of material existence and becoming Krishna conscious. So he removed the heart of Hiranyakashipu. He put him on his lap and his hot claws dug into the chest, and he took the heart of this tyrant demon and threw it to the other side of the assembly hall. But in doing so, he also removed his lust, his anger, and his greed. And only when one is freed from lust, anger, and greed, the three gates leading to hell, can one awaken prema or bhakti within the heart, which is the real goal. So really, spiritual life entails two things: removing the weeds and planting the pure seed of devotion to God in the heart. So Narasimhadev helps us, so we're very much indebted to him. So his birthday's coming up, a birthday party. And we're going to make cake, and you have to put many millions and millions of candles on that cake, because he appeared in Satya Yuga. Satya Yuga, there's four ages, Satya, Treta, Dupara, and Kali. So he appeared in beginning of creation, when Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu appeared. So Varaha and Narasimha Bhagavan, they appeared. So their exploits, their pastimes are so wonderful that they're still being celebrated billions and billions of years later. So his birthday, mark it on your calendar. It's more important than your own birthday, and your wife's birthday, and your children's birthday, the birthday of God. Because Krishna says, one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and my activities in this world, O Arjuna, does not take birth again. So we have to work our way up to that day. It's in a couple of weeks now. So I'd like to speak this evening from one verse from 7th canto of Bhagavatam. This is the 8th chapter. It's entitled, "The Lord Slays the King of Demons." It's very gruesome, but very purifying. Okay? So we'll do verse number 5. Actually, this verse is not spoken by Bhagavan himself, neither is even spoken by his devotee. This verse is spoken by Hiranyakashipu. Somehow, by his association with Prahlad, he got into Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like sometimes I think that only by the mercy of my spiritual master do I find myself in the Sangam, at this association of so many pure devotees. So don't be alarmed by the first part of this line of the shlok. Don't be afraid. It says, Sri Hiranyakashipur Uvacha. Uvacha means who is speaking, like we say, Narada Uvacha or Prahlad Uvacha. Here it is, Hiranyakashipur Uvacha. He's speaking. He's obviously speaking some nonsense. He durvinita madatman kula bhedha karat dhamma shtabdam mach chasha nodhritvam neshet vajja yama shayam. Translation. The blessed Hiranyakashipu said, O most impudent, most unintelligent disruptor of the family, O lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. We'll read the purport, but just to give you an idea, this is Hiranyakashipu, the father of Pallad, a great saintly person. This is Hiranyakashipu speaking to his son, who is a pure devotee. And you can only imagine the depth of the offense that Hiranyakashipu is making by speaking to a pure devotee in such a way. I'll read it again. O most impudent, unintelligent, disruptor of the family, O lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj, to death. Purport. Hiranyakashipu condemned his Vaishnav son Pallad for being durvinita, ungentle, uncivilized, and impudent. Srila Vishwanath Thakurvati Thakur, however, has derived a meaning from this word, durvinita, by the mercy of the goddess of learning, Saraswati. He says that du refers to the material world. This is confirmed by Lord Krishna in his instruction in Bhagavad Gita. This material world is dukkalayam. It's full of material conditions. And vi means vishesha, specifically. And nita means brought in. So by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Pallad Maharaj was expressly brought to the material world to teach people how to get out of the material condition. Lord Krishna says, yadai yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. When the entire population or part of it becomes forgetful of its own duty, Krishna comes. When Krishna is not present, the devotee is present, but the mission is the same: to free the poor conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya that chastise them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further explains that the word mandatman actually means manda, very bad or slow in spiritual realization. Stated in the Bhagavatam, manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. Pallad Maharaj is the guide of all the mandas, or the bad living entities who are under the influence of Maya. He is the benefactor even of the slow and bad living entities in this material world. Kula bhedha karadhamma. By his actions, Pallad made great personalities who established big families seem insignificant. Everyone is interested in his own family and making his own dynasty famous. But Pallad was so liberal that he made no distinction between one living entity and another. Therefore, he was greater than the great Prajapatis who established their dynasties. The word shtabdham means obstinate. A devotee does not care for the instructions of the asuras. When they give instructions, a devotee remains silent. A devotee cares about the instructions of Krishna, not those demons or non-devotees. He does not give any respect to a demon, even though the demon be his own father. Pallad Maharaj was disobedient to the orders of his demoniac father. Yamakshayam. Every conditioned soul is under the control of Yamaraj, but Hiranyakashipu said that he considered Pallad Maharaj his deliverer for Pallad would stop Hiranyakashipu's repetition of birth and death. Because Pallad Maharaj, being a great devotee, was better than any yogi, Hiranyakashipu was to be brought amongst the society of bhakti yogis. Srila Vishwanath Thakurvati Thakur has explained these words in a very interesting way, as they can be interpreted from the side of Saraswati, the goddess of learning. Hiranyakashipu said, O most impudent, most intelligent, disruptor of the family, O lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I will send you to the place of Yamaraj. This is a very interesting verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Very unusual. For those of you who are connoisseurs of this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, of Srimad Bhagavatam, those of you who drink deep every day from the nectar ras of this great scripture, which nourishes your bhakti lat bij, it nourishes your creeper of devotion, you will notice this is a very unusual verse. Because for all practical purposes, Bhagavatam is the delineating the glories of Krishna, the glories of God. It has established Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That verse. Ishvara Panama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. From the Brahma Samhita. It establishes Krishna as the Supreme Ishvara, the Supreme Lord. That's necessary. Everyone likes to worship someone more powerful than themselves for various reasons. We all have our heroes, whether we be in the mode of ignorance, or passion, or goodness, or shuddha sattva, pure goodness. We have our heroes who we worship. But Ishopanishad said there's one result which comes by worshipping what is supreme, and another result which comes by worshipping what is not supreme. It's a fundamental verse in our philosophy from Ishopanishad. You don't get the same result by worshipping what is not supreme. So therefore we have to establish what is supreme. And Bhagavatam itself, the Paribhasha Sutra, the seed verse, the most important verse, quote-unquote, of the Bhagavatam, from which all the other verses evolve. Ete chamsa kalo pumsha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam lokam vidayunte juge juge. That all the above mentioned incarnations, there's a big list of the incarnations, avatars in the Bhagavatam. They're either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. But Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Shwayam, Krishna, Shwayam Bhagavan Krishna, Brindavan Krishna, Sham Sundar, he is the original personality of Godhead. This is established here. So Bhagavatam, after that shlok in the first canto, it's just a glorification of Krishna. To awaken that dormant love for him that's there within our hearts. We are all servants of Krishna. We're all ecstatic lovers of God. Jivar Supoya Krishnara Nitya Das. That's who we are. We're not English. We're not Indian. We're not American. We're not German. We're not black, white, yellow, man, woman, rich, poor, fool, literate. No. Essentially, we're all spirit souls. We're all created by God for his pleasure to be his servants. That's what we are. And that original nature becomes manifest when we sit like this every day and we hear the glories of God. We remember who's our original lover. Who's the most lovable person? That is God. And when you discover that and you act in that capacity, you establish that relationship, that is perfection of life. Then you're happy. So we hear throughout the Bhagavatam about the glories of God and the glories of the devotees of God, because what is love of God? It means the Lord, his devotees, and the process of devotional service. So just like you can't think of a woman without thinking of her husband, you can't think of the husband without thinking of the woman, you can't think of God without thinking of his devotee. Prabhupada told us one time, those pictures where God's alone in the sky with the Om behind him, this is Mayavad, this is impersonal. God's never alone. He's always surrounded by his loving devotees. So we should expect also the Bhagavatam will glorify the devotees as well, just like the previous chapter here. It's all about the glories of Prahlad Maharaj. Why? Because by following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, we will achieve love of God. He's a Mahatma, so we have to follow in the footsteps of the Mahatma. By following the instructions of Prahlad, we learn how to love God. So important. Sakshad Hari, the devotee, is the representative of God. And therefore, because he's so powerful, can deliver us to God, he's offered the same worship as God. So the previous chapter, if you've read, is all about Prahlad, how glorious he is. And but that's an unusual verse here. Prahlad's not being glorified here. This is defamation. The same person who's been glorified for so many chapters, now we're hearing about, you know, someone's perception of him as a bad person. Well, there's something wrong here. Actually, a devotee by nature, because he's closely associated with God. He's godly. He's full of all saintly qualities because of his association with God. Titikshava karunika shuridam sharvadehinam achata shatavashunta shadava shadabhushanaha. This is one of my favorite shlokas. The symptoms of a sadhu, if you're looking for a sadhu, the symptoms of a sadhu are that he's very tolerant, he's merciful, he's friendly towards all living entities, he has no enemies, he's peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Where are you going, Prabhu? I'm looking for sadhu. So what are you looking for? No, sadhu. Now, what are you looking for? How do you know he's sadhu? Well, because he has robes, and he has long gray hair, and he has a twinkle in his eye. Excuse me. This is Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. There's many people who present themselves what they are not actually. That is also there in religion. There's many, we call them charlatans. Charlatans. If you want to know what a sadhu, you have to know the characteristics of sadhu. What do I look for, sir? Titikshava kunika shuridam sarvadehinam achata shatavanishata shadava shadabhushanaha. You write that down. Oh, well, okay, I'm looking for what? You're looking for someone who's very tolerant, who's not agitated by the material nature, the false promise of material happiness. He doesn't fall for that bait. When there's some disaster, some tragedy, he's not upset. He keeps equipoised. He sees how everyone is suffering or enjoying according to their past activities. All the plan of God to bring them to his lotus feet. He's tolerant. He's merciful. He's not miser. He's not self-realized and keeping to himself. No, he goes outside. He chants very loudly. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. One time the great saint Ramanujacharya, who's the head of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, he heard about a secret mantra which was enough to deliver one from material existence to the lotus feet of God. So he went to that guru who was speaking, giving that mantra. He said, sir, you please give me that mantra. And the guru said, I will give you the mantra, but you have to promise me that you won't give it to anyone else. It's not for everyone. So Ramanuja said, oh, okay. So he whispered in his ear the mantra. And then Ramanujacharya, he left that ashram, he went into town, he saw how the people were suffering so much for want of spiritual life. He was thinking that if they get this mantra, they will also become delivered from material existence. So he climbed a very tall pole there in the middle of the town. He began chanting that mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And all the people came around, sir, what are you doing? Oh, this mantra will liberate you. You try to lead a pure life and you chant this mantra, no more repetition of birth and death. Back home, back to Godhead. And people began chanting. To this very day, we are chanting that mantra before Bhagavatam class. And the guru heard, he said, what? I have told you, you cannot give this mantra out to everyone. Ramanuja just said, no, but this mantra is so powerful that it can deliver one from the repetition of birth and death. You said, so why? these people cannot have this mantra. They should also be given this mantra. So this is karunika. This is being merciful and friendly towards all living entities. This is real friendship. Not just sending clothes and medicine and food to Burma. Because now they've had one terrible cyclone. Yes, that's necessary. That's the duty of the government, actually. But the duty of the sadhu is to also go and give the ultimate remedy from the suffering in material existence, which is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, which translates in Kali Yuga to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Surida Sarvadehinam. Devotee has no enemies. Of course, some people may see him as an enemy, but he doesn't see them as enemies. Radhana Swami quoted Jesus Christ this morning or yesterday. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They were crucifying him. Only in ignorance they were crucifying the devotee of the Lord. So a devotee doesn't see enemies. And sadhava sadhubhushana, huh? Well, his good qualities are unlimited when you speak about a devotee. These are some of the main qualities, but he's an abode, like a treasure chest. You open up the treasure chest, there's a few big jewels, there's a big sapphire, a big emerald, a big diamond, but underneath there's so many thousands of other jewels. So a devotee has some specific, very wonderful quality, but you just go into his heart as a treasure chest of repository of good qualities. So this verse, Tatikshiva Krunika Shuridam, this actually describes Prahlad Maharaj. And these qualities are consistent in every saintly person. It doesn't matter what religion he is. It's like an apple from any part of the world, from any different types of apples. They're all juicy, they're all sweet, they're all delicious. So whatever spiritual tradition, a theistic tradition that one may follow, we can expect to find these qualities in that devotee, just like Jesus Christ. I remember in the beginning of the movement, many of us abandoned Christianity, so we didn't know exactly how to think of Jesus Christ after that. So he was our, you know, we were following his teachings, so we may have felt a little guilty, because we, at least we were moral. Well, before we reached teenage life, we were practicing or going to church. So then a devotee asked Prabhupada, what about Jesus Christ? And everybody, oh, he is our spiritual master. Because he was Vaishnava. Vaishnava means anyone who accepts Vishnu or Krishna as supreme, anyone who accepts the existence of God, he's a Vaishnava. And Lord Jesus Christ taught in so many ways how we should love and honor thy father with all thy heart and soul. So just like you see in Prahlad, you'll also see in Jesus. And any true saint of any religion, they're common. So we have to learn to recognize them. Why? Because we have to search out these sadhus. They're very, very rare. Chanakapanya says, you will not find a pearl on the head of every elephant. You will not find rubies in every mountain. You will not find sandalwood in every forest. And you will not find a sadhu in every birth. Very rare to find a sadhu in our human existence. Just like amongst the general society, how many of them are very, very wealthy? The upper crust, the upper 1%, like Bill Gates, and Mr. Rockefeller, and this sheik from Middle East, and you know, how rare are those persons? Yeah, those who have the top 10 most wealthy people in the world. You think you'll ever get to meet them? No, never. How many of you have met Mr. Bill Gates and shaken his hand? Very rare. Much more rare to meet sadhu. There's little benefit in meeting Mr. Gates because he probably won't give you a donation. But if you meet a sadhu, he'll give you everything he has. He's very merciful. Sadhus, they want to share their good fortune with others because they know the nature of spiritual mathematics. 1 - 1 = 100. If Bill Gates gives away his money, he has nothing left. But if a sadhu, a brahmana, the priestly class, if they share their realizations with others, if they uplift people from the mode of ignorance and passion to goodness, to pure goodness, that is their duty, Prabhupada said, the duty of a first-class man is to make a fifth-class man first-class man. Brahmins are actually meant to elevate others to the brahminical platform. That is real Vedic philosophy. They abuse this principle, therefore the whole culture fell apart. But Brahman is meant to elevate one to his position. And by doing so, God is very pleased, and he blesses them even more. Krishna says in Gita, there's none more dear to me than those who are preaching my message. So if you exhaust yourself preaching Krishna consciousness, what do you have at the end of the day? Nothing? No, you have so much blessings. You are more richer than you were when you woke up. This is Vedic culture. Where do we find such a person who can free us from the samsara, from the repetition of birth and death, and what's more, deliver us to the kingdom of God? I want to find such a person. Krishna says, go look. As Jesus says, seek and ye shall find. Krishna says, tadvidi paripatena pariprasana sevaya upadekshanti teginam ghaninash tattva darshanaha. Try to learn this truth of Krishna consciousness by approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Pariprasana sevaya. You inquire from him, you render service. What's the benefit? Self-realized souls will give you knowledge because they've seen the truth. Hey, I want to find someone like that. Where is that man? What is the benefit of such a person? I should associate? No. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu. Sa eva sadushu krito moksha dwaram apavritam. Another nice shloka. Every learned man knows very well that attachment to the material is the greatest entanglement of the soul. But that same attachment, when applied to self-realized devotees, opens the door to realization. We're very attached. What is the main attachment? Pumsha sturiya mituni bhavam tayo mito hridaya grante moho. I love that verse. The attraction between male and female is a basic principle of material existence. Move back, ladies. Move forward, men. Based on this misconception, hridaya granthim, which ties together the hearts of the male and the female, one begins to think in terms, one becomes attached to his body, to the husband, to the wife, to the children, to the pets, to the furniture, to the backyard, to the car, to the bank, to the home in the country. And this way one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. No one should take this personally. This is just some universal understanding of how we're entangled in the material world. Our original love for God becomes a perverted reflection in our attraction to the opposite sex. Man for woman and woman for man. And nowadays, I guess you have to include man for man and woman for woman. You want to include everybody. It's not going on. This is a perverted reflection of our original love for God. So intense. It's very strong, that attachment. Rupa Goswami says, as young boys are attracted to young girls, and young girls are attracted to young boys, with the same intensity, Lord, let me be attracted to you. That's all. It's very simple. You transfer the attachment from the material body to the spiritual form of God. How do you do it? Well, just like you look at your girlfriend, and you listen to her, and you know, you smell her perfume, and you touch her form. Those same senses, You do that with God. You transfer the attachment. You look at God, His beautiful form as in the paintings of the deity. You hear His glories. You smell the incense offered to His lotus feet. You taste the food that's been offered to Him. Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple-minded and very difficult for the crooked-minded. Just follow the simple process that Prabhupada has given. You transfer that attachment. But actually, God, He's a little difficult for us to approach at this point because He's very far away. But Ishvarupanishad said He's very near as well. How is He near? He's near in the form of His representative. It's like India is very far away, but you can touch India in one moment by going to the Indian embassy in London and talking to the ambassador. He's representing the whole country. If you please Him, all of India is happy with you. If you displease Him, watch out. All of India is upset. He's very powerful. So God is very far away, but His representative is very near. And Prabhupada said here in the purport, either the Lord is here, or by His mercy, His representatives are here. There's always somebody at the helm of the ship. We're never abandoned. Either God's here. If He's not here, then His ambassador is here. We can. How you will find Him? Where do you go to find Him? You have to know what His qualities are. Therefore, the whole chapter before, describing the qualities of Prahlad, you find someone who has those qualities. Just like, why does a policeman wear a uniform? So when there's danger, oh, there's a policeman. So when you realize the danger of material existence, that you're suffering here, and you're then, where's the devotee who can save me? His qualities are all here. So important, just like Arjuna. In the Gita, at one point he asked Krishna, he said, what are the symptoms of a saintly person? How does he walk? How does he talk? What activities does he perform? So understanding that, we can seek out a bona fide spiritual master, hear from him, and make spiritual advancement. So Prahlad, he was glorified for so many chapters because he's a Mahajan. He's one of the 12, the best. He's the A-team. You've got the A-team, the B-team, the C-team. Right? You've got the, I don't know what you call it in football, you've got the main team and you've got the backup team. Well, no, he's the A-team. The 12 Mahajans, who are the authorities in the science of devotional service. But maybe we made a mistake. Because here, Hiranyakashipu is pointing out the bad qualities in Prahlad Maharaj. Uh-oh. But we should know, actually Prahlad doesn't have any bad qualities. Hiranyakashipu is seeing him like that, because his heart's very polluted, and therefore he sees everything in a polluted way. Atmavan man yate jagat, another classic line. In material life, a person tends to assess others according to his own mentality. Atmavan man yate jagat. So, just like if you're wearing rose-colored glasses, I went to get some sunglasses the other day in London, and then, you know, I picked out the frames and the size, and then they brought the colors. And there was like every color in the rainbow, and I just couldn't just control my senses. Like, do I want this color or that color? I was like for an hour in there. And then Tucker Mahasaya said, Gurudev, it's not so important, you know, it's just sunglasses, so just pick a color. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. It was pink. So don't be surprised if this Thursday you see me wearing pink. So I'll put the pink glasses on, and what will happen? The whole world will be pink. And there was also a light blue. It would all be blue, and there was green in there. So you look through the glasses. So if you look through this world with eyes which are tinged with the impurities of the heart, because the eyes are the way that you contact the soul. The soul's here. How do you see the soul? You can't. But the eye light, Chanakya Pandit says that the eyes are the light of the soul. So if the soul is polluted with lust and anger and greed and duplicity and avarice and hatred and envy, then you'll see the whole world like that. Atmavan man yate jagat. In material life, a person tends to assess others according to his own mentality. So this assessment of Prahlad Maharaj by this asura, by this demon, we can't take this seriously. He's seeing through these rose-colored glasses. He's seeing through a polluted heart. And to correct this offensive statements that he's made, because he's made a very serious offense. You can offend a Vaishnava through your words, through your mind, through your words, and through your actions. And sometimes the words, that's the most painful. Like you can punch somebody and it hurts for a little while, but you can say to someone, you look like an old baboon with red hair, and that hurts for months or years. I remember what you said to me when I... You know, you can say something just the words. Remember when I was a little kid, I was quite skinny, and sometimes the bullies used to make fun. And my dad taught me a mantra. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. So they'd break my bones. I didn't have Bhakti Kalan there to protect me. We got in a big fight one time in Sarajevo. It was a serious business. And the gang of these dacoits were coming in Sarajevo. It was just after the war, and we were chanting Hare Krishna in the streets. And they attacked us, and they were big fellows. They were beating the devotees. They had knives, and they were stabbing. So Bhakti Kalan was standing there. I said, Bhakti Kalan, you know, you got to protect us. So I took his weapon of choice, which was a saxophone. You know, you think of like you have a weapon of choice, you know, like your sword or your dagger or your AK-40. We're in the middle of kirtan. He took it. That was the most dear to him, and he took his saxophone and started swinging it around. Bang, boom, and he protected me actually, because these men were. I was standing right next to him, and many boys. I think four boys got stabbed. Seriously stabbed. And Colin was one of them. He's got two or three stab wounds in his side. I think it was in the side here or the back or something. He was almost bled to death. But I take it that he protected me. We went to the hospital and the doctor said, this boy's been stabbed, and Thakur Bhaktivinod was stabbed and like this. So we acknowledge that Bhakti Colin protected us. Anyone could have died there. So these words are very offensive that he's saying. So what is his fate? For this is Hati Mata. To blaspheme a devotee who has dedicated his life to preaching the glories of the Lord, one's life becomes ruined in every regard. So that we don't this type of blasphemy is dangerous. Even to hear it. It's said that if a Vaishnava is being offended, if you hear blasphemy of the Lord or a Vaishnava, you should immediately, well, what you should do is you should cut out the person's tongue. You should defeat him by words or try to cut out his tongue. If you can't do that, you should go away. Because hearing it is very polluting. So that we don't become polluted by this offensive talk of Hiranyakashipu, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur very kindly enters the scene. And by the grace of Mother Saraswati, he interprets, I wouldn't say interprets the proper word, he helps us understand the real meaning of the words spoken by Hiranyakashipu. And let us just take one moment here to analyze some of those words, as Prabhupada has done in the purport. Hiranyakashipu, with his rose-colored glasses, with his polluted heart, is seeing this very pure, saintly personality. He's saying that he's Durvinita. Durvinita. Durvinita is translated here.
Prince auspicious.
Huh?
Prince auspiciousness.
Durvinita.
In the miserable world.
Most impudent. Lowest, Prabhupada said, goes on. Lowest amongst the many. So many words are here. Unintelligent. Disruptor of the family. Lowest of mankind. Vimanita. He said, ungentle, uncivilized, and impudent. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he's a great devotee, and he's armed with knowledge. He didn't have saxophone or a sword. He's armed with knowledge. He's fighting this illusion. He says, no, this word, Durvinita, I can say it in a different way. He said, du means the material world, vi means specifically, and nita, you break it down to three, means brought in. So Prahlad Maharaj was specifically brought into the material world for what? The purpose of preaching Krishna consciousness. You know, Sanskrit, it's a very refined, it's a language, the language of the gods. It's very refined. So any word can may be taken in different ways. It's up to the author, actually, who's speaking it, what he's actually meaning. So Hiranyakashipu is using the words in one way, but Vishwanatha Chakravarti, he turns it all around. No, it doesn't mean he's impudent. It doesn't mean he's uncivilized. It doesn't mean this Prahlad is impudent. It means that duvinita. He's brought into the material world for a specific purpose, which, sir, is to deliver you, Hiranyakashipu. Because by killing Hiranyakashipu, he was very merciful to him. Because it stopped his nefarious activities. Because the more sin he committed, the more he would suffer in the future. So stop this nonsense immediately. What's more, he took out his heart, took out his intestines, and removed all his material desire. He gave him moksha. Actually, he liberated him. Okay. Prahlad Maharaj didn't come into this material world like you and me. We should never think like that. All of us here sitting in the room, well, I don't know. I don't want to make an offense. Maybe there's a Nitya Siddha here. But generally the rule is that from Brahmalok down to Patalok, everyone here has come in for the purpose of enjoying separately from God. There's no elevated position in this world. Brahma is a very elevated birth, but actually Brahma is also a fallen position. Our Brahma is a pure devotee, but the position of Brahma is a fallen position because it's in the material world. But devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, they come into the world for one singular reason. They come in with the same mission as the Lord. Paritunaya saranam vinashaya saduskritam. To deliver you and me, kill these asuras, and then set the whole thing up after the battle, set it all up again, reestablish the principles of religion. So we should never again listen to this verse of Hiranyakashipu. Of course, we have to listen sometimes, but we should understand it not from the viewpoint of Hiranyakashipu, but from the viewpoint of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. We should never doubt a great devotee. There's that famous Bengali saying, Yajapi Nityananda Shura Bhari Yaya Tata Piyohaya Nityananda Raya. Even if I see that Lord Nityananda has entered a liquor shop, I shall not be diverted from my conclusion that Nityananda Roy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like you may see Gaura Hari going into a liquor shop. And the rumor may spread, did you see? In Ireland, they drink a lot. And one day I was downtown and I saw Gaura Hari go into a liquor shop. So, 2 + 2 = 4. Conclusion is, he's Irish, they drink a lot, he's in a liquor shop, he's drinking. But you didn't know that, you didn't look carefully, he had a book bag, and he's gone in to distribute Srila Prabhupada's book. I spent half my life in, you know, illicit places, butcher shops. They were my favorite place for distributing books. I used to challenge the butchers in France, you know, you're doing such nonsense. I am. Yes, sir, you are. You're going to suffer for going. All these. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. For every drop of blood, you've spilled. You're going to spill a gallon of your own blood. Is it really true? But if you buy this book, you'll be saved. And brothels, yeah, sannyasi. I've been in brothels. I mean, not in the rooms, but I went to the reception, Madame. Please take this book. You know, why I should take it? Will teach you the highest pleasures in life. And yes. Slaughterhouses. I remember going to slaughterhouses and distributing. Right, not very nice places, but so whole material world is impure from the vision of a Vaishnava. Dukalayam ashashvatam, a temporary place full of so many miseries. But we don't go to these places to enjoy. When the devotee goes out, he goes to give association. He doesn't go to get association. If he has that proper mentality, when a devotee goes out in the order of his spiritual master to preach Krishna consciously, he goes to bring people up to his level. He doesn't come down to their level. So he's protected. With that intent, he's protected by the Lord. He actually elevates people to his position rather than comes down to their position. So don't listen to this Hiranyakashipu. He's only nonsense. He's rascal. This is the worst word we can use. Prabhupada used to say, I am not saying, Krishna is saying. They're all rascals. What is that famous verse that one who thinks Avajananti Mamudha Manushyam Tanim Ashritam?
Param Bhava Majanantu Mamabhutam Ageshwaram.
Translation?
Fools derided me as an ordinary human being. They do not know I am my supreme nature, I'm inexhaustible.
He uses the word mudha. This is a four-letter word in Sanskrit. Sanskrit is a very refined word, so you won't find this low-class language. But that's about as bad as you can get. Mudha. You call someone a mudha, an ass. And this is very bad in India. You call them ass. My son was raised in Krishna consciousness, and last year we went. I was visiting him, and I had to catch a plane, but it was the next morning very early, like 5 o'clock in the morning, so we were trying to find a hotel close to the airport so that I could just go straight from the hotel in the morning to the airport. And we went into one hotel which we'd reserved, and the man immediately didn't like the fact that I was a devotee. So he said, no, sir, we have no reservation in your name. And I said, what? I called in Mr. Tibbetts. He said, no. And I could see it on the paper. He was lying. And my son could see it. And my son sometimes just has this hot blood. So he said to the man, you're just a rascal. And the man started laughing. He said, what did you call me? I mean, people call me, I won't say bleep, 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 bleep. You know? He said, but are you talking about the little rascals? You know, this was a television show when I was a kid, the little rascals. He was laughing and my son got really upset. No, you're a rascal! You're... That was the worst word my son learned when he was in the Gurukul. You're a rascal! So mudha means like... So Hiranyakashipu, he uses this word, manda atman. It means, Prabhupada translated as stupid fool. But of course we know it's Hiranyakashipu is a stupid fool. Because it takes one to know one. He's the most foolish by his actions and by the result of his action. Filina Parichate, you judge something by the result. What is the result of this materialistic civilization? It is simply nothing at the end. You work so hard, and when you die, you can't take a farthing with you. I think farthing used to be the old English coins they were using. You can't take a farthing. You can't take a paisa. You can't take penny when you die. To work so hard and not have anything in the end, this is not very intelligent. But if you work hard to maintain your family, at the same time, you get your family to chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. When you die, yes, you have to leave all that behind, but you take with you this cherished love of God. So who's the fool? The fool is Hiranyakashipu. He's the most intelligent. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this word is stubdham. It means very obstinate. He said, you're an obstinate fool, Prahlad. You don't listen to me. And that can be bad. If someone's giving you instructions and you don't accept it, that's bad. Like, you know, Mama used to say, take your medicine. No! Take your medicine. No! Take your medicine. No, you're being very obstinate. Well, that's bad. But if someone's saying, take this poison. No. Take this poison. No. Take this poison. No. That obstinacy is good. So Hiranyakashipu was trying to train his son in the ways of the demoniac. Be a big sense enjoyer. woman hunter, enjoy the money, chase after the ephemeral pleasures of life, and diplomacy, and he's teaching all these things in the Gurukul, so-called Gurukul. And Prahlad said, no. That obstinacy, that we want. Just like there was, I always often quote that there was a campaign during the Clinton years, the Reagan years, to try to get the kids to refuse the drugs in high school, the drug pushers. So this whole campaign, the motto was, just say no. Would you like some marijuana? Would you like some ecstasy? You know, the drug. Would you like some cocaine? No. You're being very obstinate. Yes. So whenever Maya tempts you in her varieties of way, if you're strong, if you have faith, if you have the param drishta nivartante, if you have the higher taste which comes from chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, you can be just like Thakur Haridas. When Maya Devi herself came in her most beautiful feminine pose, with her skimpy garments, which were being blown in the wind and revealing her body. I want to enjoy with you. You're a young man. Haridas was very handsome. He said, yes, ma'am, I will fulfill your desire. Wait till I finish my mala. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Actually, he had no interest, but he was a very kind-hearted person. So by Maya Devi hearing the chanting of this great Mahabhagavata, her polluted heart became pure. And in the morning time, she fell down at his feet and said, Sadhu, please accept me as your disciple and teach me the science of loving Krishna. So Prahlad's very obstinate. He teaches us the obstinacy of not giving in to Maya's temptations. So we should follow in his footsteps. So in this way, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is very kind. He gives us the proper understanding. How do you see these words used? Is not the thing which caused the disease, when used in a therapeutic way, cure the disease? So these words which give pain to our heart to hear such a great devotee blasphemed, when they're used properly or used intelligently by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they bring out the real glories of Prahlad Maharaj. Just like gold, it's somewhat pretty when it comes out of the ground, but when you polish it, ooh, then it gets the real shine. I used to hunt gold when I was from California, so we have the Sierra Nevada mountains, and they had the gold rush there in the 1800s, 1849. So you can still go to those places where the miners were hunting the gold, and if you're patient, you can find some gold nuggets. I found plenty. I found plenty when I was a kid. But they don't come out of the ground very attractive. But if you polish them, then the real shine comes. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has taken these words of Hiranyakashipu, and he's shined them very nicely by the mercy of Mother Saraswati. In this way, we're revealing the true glories of this great devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. So we should listen not to the words of these atheistic, sense gratifier, materialistic people. We should be very careful always to hear the words of the pure devotees, even when they're speaking about this temporary, miserable nature. We don't want to hear so much about it, because we want to really hear about Krishna. But in order to be convinced that Krishna is the goal, we sometimes have to sit and hear all these nasty things about material life, so we really become convinced that our real interest is Krishna consciousness. So these pure devotees, they also speak about the material world, but they don't glorify it in the same way as the television and the internet. And they speak about it in a much more sober way. So let us hear from them and make our hearts pure. And then also, when we hear these things, let's share our good fortune with others. Let us share these realizations with others, and then we'll have the joy of seeing them also becoming devotees of the Lord. Thank you for inviting me here this evening. Hare Krishna. Thank you.